May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from the gospel lesson, especially these words. The man said to Jesus, "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, our Lord bids us to trust in him, to have faith in him, to trust that he will provide for all our needs of body and soul. Trust that he never leaves us nor forsakes us. Trust that he loves us. He calls us to faith in him. We are to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. But sometimes that faith, that trust can be challenged by our circumstances, challenged by the affairs of this world, challenged by our fears and our worries, challenged by our own failures and our own sin. I'm reminded of 20 years ago when the September 11th attacks prompted so much fear and anxiety throughout our nation, indeed throughout the world. Our sense of safety was ripped away. There was anger and confusion, and for some, a return to the Lord to seek something secure, something to put one's trust in. In such times of desperation, we may cry out like the man in our gospel lesson, "Lord, have compassion on us and help us." Such was the mental and the spiritual state of this man in our gospel reading. This man had come to Jesus' disciples to have them cast out this unclean spirit from his son, but they couldn't do it. And so the man turns to Jesus. He desperately wanted Jesus to heal his son, to drive the unclean spirit away. He says to Jesus, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus is the only one he knows to whom he can turn for help. And Jesus replies, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Of course, Jesus can do it. Jesus is God in human flesh. How could he not drive this demon away? I want to first consider this somewhat provocative statement of Jesus where he says, "All things are possible for one who believes." Really? All things? The one who believes what? Is Jesus saying we just have to believe something really hard, something in particular, and then that thing will happen? If we really believe it, it will come to pass? No. Belief, faith, trust, as the scripture teaches, it always has one object in mind. It is not trust in yourself. It is not belief in the power of positive thinking. It is not faith in faith. Rather, it is faith in God. More specifically, from our gospel lesson, faith in Jesus. So we might extend Jesus' statement and say, all things are possible for one who believes in Christ. So the faith we have, the faith that we have been given, is faith in Jesus. So then, what about the all things part of Jesus' words? I think the clue to understanding this is in the phrase that the man says to Jesus and he repeats back to him, "If you can." If you can, Jesus, help us. Well, there is no if with Jesus. He can, period. He is God. He can do whatever it is. Thus, there is no petition or prayer too great or too small for us to bring before him. All things are possible means that all things are possible to God. As the hymnist John Newton writes, "Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much." Therefore, we should not be concerned about the enormity of our prayer. You cannot pray for something that God is unable to do. And so as a believer in Christ, God the Father bids you to come to him in prayer. Come and ask him as dear children ask their dear father. For you are part of a new priesthood. You have access to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. You have the power, if you will, to come to him in prayer, but not because of your own power, but because of Jesus. No prayer is too large or too small. Our Lord wants us to come to him in prayer. He wants us to make our wants and our needs and our fears and anxieties known before him. The formula of Concord states, worthiness does not depend on the greatness or smallness, the weakness or strength of faith. Instead, it depends on Christ's merit, which this distressed father of little faith enjoyed as well as Abraham, Paul, and others who have a joyful and strong faith. Furthermore, praying in the name of Jesus means praying as he taught. The Lord's Prayer is a pattern for our prayer, and it is also a prayer that we should pray regularly. Indeed, all of our prayers should be balanced with the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done." It takes a lot of faith to pray those words, "Thy will be done." For as we know, when we come to God in prayer, we know what we want. We know what we think is best. But to pray, "Thy will be done," is humbly asking God, "Lord, you know what is best. May your will be done in our lives." To pray, "Thy will be done," means that God's answer to the other petitions of our prayer may well be no. For our Heavenly Father knows what's best for his children. The good and gracious will of God is done indeed without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it would be done among us also. Consider our Lord, who prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. What was his prayer? His prayer before he was to be betrayed, tortured, and crucified, he prayed to the Father, "Lord, take this cup from me," the cup of suffering that he was about to drink. And yet he ended his prayer with the words, "Not as I will, but as you will." And it was the will of the Father that the Son should die on the cross, die for your sins and for mine. And so Jesus' prayer that the Father's will be done was answered in the affirmative. And thank God that it was. Jesus suffered for us. Jesus rose for us. You and I stand forgiven before God so that we could be called children of the Heavenly Father, so that we sinful people can look to God and call him Father and come to him in prayer. And so we come to him in faith, always praying, "Thy will be done." This faith is a struggle. This faith to trust God above all things, it doesn't come easy. And so it was for the Father in our gospel lesson. His reply to Jesus is so brutally honest. He says to Jesus, "I believe, help my unbelief." What a great prayer. It's an honest confession that probably all of us as believers have made at some point. We believe, and yet sometimes we doubt. So we pray God would help us in our unbelief. We may pray a similar prayer. We trust in the Lord, yet our trust wavers, and we might pray, "Lord, I trust you. Help my mistrust." We know God loves us, but sometimes we doubt his care. We might pray, "Lord, I know that you love me, but help my doubt." We know our sins are forgiven by God in heaven for Jesus' sake, and yet sometimes they haunt us. They just cling to us and pester us. And so we might pray, "Lord, I know you forgive sins. Put my sin far from me." One day we will see our Savior face to face, and then there will be no mistrust, no doubt, no worry, no anxiety, for we will be in eternal life with our God and our Lord. But as we live in this world, our human nature is prone to doubt, and there may be even moments of unbelief. even with his seemingly faltering faith, Jesus hears the pleas of this father. And so he drives the demon out of his son, takes hold of his hand, and raises him up. The disciples marvel, for they were unable to cast out this demon. And Jesus tells them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. The prayer of the Father, heard by a gracious God. The disciples could not drive out this demon by their own power. It had to be Jesus. Jesus responding to the prayerful pleas of the boy's father. This demon could only be driven out by prayer. The prayer of a believer, reliant on the grace and mercy of God. And so Jesus hears your prayers. As St. Paul reminds us, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? The Father chose to give his gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation to believers. He chose to give them to you. Thus, if God is prepared to give us the greatest of all things, even to the point of sacrificing his own son for us, how can we not believe that he won't give us the lesser things as well? For our reward, our final reward, is already waiting for us in heaven. Giving us these lesser things is not nearly as difficult for the Father as handing Christ his son over to death on a cross. And so, like this father, we know where to turn in times of trouble, to Jesus. We know where to turn when we're anxious or worried or confused or desperate. We turn to Jesus, who loves us, who cares for us, who forgives our sin. When the cares and the anxieties of this world come, when your faith seems weak, may you pray these same words to Jesus: Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.